Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our instruction, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly comprehend them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Ever had who have so much problems with your microphone? There we go. Okay. This is from Isaiah 49. Again, this is, you know, when Jesus was raised from the dead and the early church was trying to figure out just who was he, they began plumbing, going through the Old Testament to try to understand his identity. And they would find in the Old Testament different passages that began to speak to them. And this is one of them, this passage from Isaiah 49 that talks about the servant of the Lord. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me, and from my mother's womb he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing at all, yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." And he says, "It's too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." And this is what the Lord says, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. "To him was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So now we turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And after Jesus was baptized by John, John saw Jesus walking towards him. And he is the first to identify Jesus as the Lamb of God. He sees in Jesus the sacrificial Lamb for the sins of the world. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me,' because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Well, then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, "The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Well, then the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." And so they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought his brother to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word, and to him be all praise and honor and glory. My grandmother and grandfather had a farm on Ridge Road, just a mile outside of a little farming village in North Fairfield, Ohio. And that is where my grandmother, or where my mother was born. My grandfather, Hoyt, was the 6th generation from a Puritan dissenter who had come to the United States in 1629 because his faith in Jesus Christ as Lord was not acceptable to the government in England. My grandmother, who was named was Marie Tanner Hoyt, she had a patriot ancestor who fought at Bunker Hill, again because of our protest against the king trying to control not only our country but religious beliefs in America. And so this farm was in Ohio because of earlier ancestors of mine who came to the United States because they believed in the Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world. They came from England here because they wanted a new life. They wanted a new life of grace, where God's forgiveness would be acceptable and understood because of who Jesus Christ is and what he teaches. And they weren't experiencing that in the old world. In the old world, many people were in prison because they had nothing by which to pay for anything in life. They were born in poverty, and they lived in poverty, and many of them had to resort to theft, and their criminal behavior was unforgivable. And there was no escape from that in England until the King of England decided it would be better for him to empty the prisons and send these debtors off to America. And all they had was their faith in God, that they could find happiness over here. And that's may have been part of the motivations behind my family being here, that they wanted a life of freedom from guilt that would cripple them for their entire lives, and that they would never find peace except by the grace of God. And so there are three generations of Hoyts in Ohio and six generations of Hoyts in America before my mother was born. And they raised lambs. They raised sheep. And after my grandfather had died, my grandfather died when my mother was two, from tuberculosis out in Arizona. The farm eventually was sold, but the family that bought the farm continued to raise the sheep that my grandfather had been raising. And I was taken to the farm when I was 10 to see them, the sheep, the lambs, the sweet, gentle lambs. This was long before I had read John chapter 1, verse 29, and had any association of Jesus with the Lamb of God. But I remember that day. It made an indelible mark upon my heart because I was immediately impressed with the innocence of the lambs. It was almost as if I could look in their eyes and see the eyes of Jesus. The gentleness, the powerlessness, in a sense, the humility. They would walk without fear to be shorn of their fleece, like Jesus walked to the cross in innocence, to be shorn of the protection of God and to die upon the cross for our freedom from guilt, from the guilt of sin. And when I was older, they took me to see one of those lambs slaughtered for an Easter meal. And I understood in a profound way what you don't understand when you buy a leg of lamb in the supermarket. When you actually see and experience the blood shed, and you understand how in the innocence of a lamb, you can understand why John the Baptist associated him with the Lamb of God. For lambs were slaughtered in the temple in Jerusalem. And one biblical commentator says that the sacrifice of animals on the altar in the temple of Jerusalem must have meant that that altar was perpetually covered in blood, sacrificed for the sins of Israel. And here in the Gospel of John, this whole idea of a sacrificial lamb for the sins of a nation are multiplied and expanded because it's not just Israel for whom Jesus has come. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's the expansion of the salvation of God beyond the people of Israel to the entire planet that this lamb is sacrificed. And it is that sense of humility that we should have because it's very personal. Jesus was sacrificed for us personally, for our sins. And he went there willingly with the innocence and purity of a lamb. And none of us are absolved of this, including me. God knows how much I needed Jesus, how much I need Jesus to be the Lamb of God. But each of us does. And yet there are many people in America today who would say that they are without any blemish before God, that every motive that drives them, every decision they make is righteous and good and is godly. There is something about that that is discrediting what the Lamb has done, that doesn't accept that a lamb was necessary for the sacrifice of sin. And there's something about that that says that I'm above sin. There is nothing wrong, friends, in accepting that we're sinners. It gives us a better sense of humility. It gives us a better sense of responsibility. And frankly, every marriage that endures endures by grace that is given by a wife to a husband and a husband to a wife. And every relationship that we have between parents and children that makes our families is all built on grace, the grace that was given to us by the Lamb of God. Families are reconciled where there is mutual humility. Families are reconciled where there is mutual responsibility. Families are brought back and healed of brokenness because of the power of love, that power that we see in the Lamb of God. And so, as we come before God this day, in this second Sunday after Epiphany, let us come before Him in prayer and thank the Lamb for the power and the majesty of His sacrifice. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we need You. I need You. We all need You, each in our own way. Each of us, if we are honest with ourselves, knows that there are times in which we have tried to live without You, depend upon our own resilience, our own intelligence, our own initiative, our own sense of entitlement to live the life that we thought we needed to live. And yet, Lord, every time we try to live independently from You, there were ways in which we found that You were bringing us back before the cross and to see the Lamb in all of His glory and wonder, and to thank Him for the grace that we've received because of what he did for us. And help us, Lord, to live each day with a personal sense of gratitude for your love, for winning us back through Jesus, through offering us love that we offer to one another that heals relationships and binds up wounds and makes peace. And to you we give all thanks. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.